This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him. The Gospel according to Mark. Six days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. And then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." And suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. And as they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Terry, can you pull down? We're getting a little bit of reverb, so if you could pull down just a little bit on the mic. Dear Christian friends, I love her because of the warmth in her eyes and her gentle touch. I love her for her blindness to my faults. Well, or maybe not blindness, but her willingness to see them and love me just the same. I love her for her faithfulness to me, our children, and our extended family. I love her for just being there in quiet harmony. She is my beloved, my wife. Oh. I'm blushing. Yesterday was Valentine's Day. It was a day for us to express love to those who are our beloved. And as I mentioned earlier, in your bulletin is a Valentine from God to his son, because in our reading today on Transfiguration, one of the focal points is God the Father says, "This is my beloved son." So take a minute. I'm going to give everybody a minute or so, and I need to get a wireless handheld mic. Anyway, we'll get that as you're working on your Valentine, and because I want, if anybody was willing to share that, be able to share a Valentine as you would see God sharing it for his beloved son. So just take a minute to that, and then we'll continue on with sharing those Valentines. Nope. All right. So what would God the Father write to his beloved son if he were writing a Valentine?
Still saying yet? No.
Test, test. Test, test. 1, 2. Test, test. John, you want to share? I see you got it written down anywhere.
What did God say? If I can read it, it's in pencil. I know I have asked a lot of you, but the work you do will mean the work you do will mean life for all who love me. It's about love, you know.
Very nice. Thank you. Anyone else want to share their Valentine that you've written? Bonnie.
Thank you, my son, for the supreme sacrifice of giving up your life on the cross so all may be saved and have eternal life. There is no greater love.
Thank you. Anyone else care to, Murray?
No one could ever love you like I do. You are my joy and my sacrifice.
Very nice. Anyone else care to share your Valentine? Don?
I thank the Lord. He just took my wife here two months ago, and she's out of this wicked world, and she was a good Christian gal, and she's up where she's supposed to be. Praise the Lord.
Thank you. Praise for the salvation he gives those of our loved ones who have passed. Anyone else want to? A lot of shy people today. Well, all right. Okay. Pastor's wife has to share.
My pride in you is boundless. The path you are walking with obedience is difficult, but know that I am with you always, my son.
Okay, very nice. And so, as we look at Transfiguration and what it means, it's really telling us who Jesus is. And those Valentines really were an expression of who it is that Jesus is. Now, our text begins with it telling us that Jesus' appearance is changed, and he's so dazzling white, he's whiter than any bleach on earth could bleach him. I have a warped sense of humor sometime. I was envisioning a Clorox bleach commercial. You know, holding up this white t-shirt next to Jesus and saying, "It's not as white as Jesus, but whiter than anything else on earth." But back to our text, whiter than anything on earth could bleach it. And what does this tell us? Basically, this is saying Jesus is divine. He's not just like anybody else. And part of those Valentines that you had were just, "I love you because you're my beloved son." You know, "just because you are my only begotten son, I love you." And isn't that the way we are with our own children? And whenever you've seen a new parents with a newborn child, or grandparents, if you've been lucky enough to see a grandchild right after it's born, the child hasn't done anything yet, but everybody's lit up with smiles. We love the ones who are precious to us. And so it is part of our text today, part of the Transfiguration is just saying, God says you're my beloved son just because you are my only begotten son, just because of who you are. And so a lot of what we have here is that revealing this epiphany moment of just who is Jesus. He is the beloved Son of God. And of course, this whole thing with him shining, you have to know your Old Testament to appreciate what's going on in the New Testament. Because when we go back to Exodus 34, it was Moses who went up Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments from God. And there in Exodus 34, it says, Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and as he came down from the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant in his hand, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. So anybody that really knows his Old Testament and knows that story of Moses, just by being in the presence of God, his face shone with the glory of God. Now, just as Moses was on a mountain, Jesus is on a mountain, but this time it's not that Jesus was reflecting God's glory, it just shone out of his inner being. All of a sudden, his true identity, you know, the Word made flesh, and now out of the flesh shines the glory of God. And so this incident is one of those, you know, all along, Mark's been pointing to us throughout the Epiphany season. Look at the healings, look at the teaching, looking what Jesus has done. And if you ever had any doubt before about who he is, now you know for certain the glory of God shining out of his very being. And so like Moses' face reflected the glory of God, Jesus' being just permeates, it exudes the glory of God in who he is. He's not just in the presence of God, he is God. And so God the Father simply loves God. He is beloved simply because of who he is. And that's part of what our text is all about on the Transfiguration Sunday. Jesus is God. But we also know he loves his Son for what he does, that he does the Father's will. And those many Valentines that you share, that you made that sacrifice. It was difficult, and yet you did it anyway. And so it was because of the sacrifice that Jesus made for us that God says, "You're my beloved Son. I appreciate what you do." And that sacrifice began with his birth, when the Word became flesh. I always marvel at that God, at one time Jesus was in the heavens and the seraphim and the cherubim were all praising and adoring him, and he left all that behind to be born in a stable. That Word that was worshiped and glorified in heaven becomes flesh and dwells among us. And it was only, and that was a gift to us in and of itself. And then not only just to leave that behind and to take on flesh, but then to take on a path that leads to suffering on the cross. In fact, the very last conversation before the Transfiguration, it is Jesus who tells his disciples, "I've got to go into Jerusalem and suffer at the hands of the scribes and the Pharisees and die, and then 3 days later be raised from the dead." And so it was at that moment where Jesus articulates that, and he says, "I know that's my will, and I'm prepared to do it." He tells his disciples that now he's transfigured. It's that commitment, I think, of what Jesus has committed himself to do that makes the Father then say, "This is my beloved Son." You know, willing to make a sacrifice. And if you have children, you know, when our kids make sacrifices, they make us proud. You know, when they study hard and they do well in school, we are proud because the sacrifice to study. Or if they're practiced and practice in some athletic team and they do well in a sport, we're proud of the sacrifice that it takes to be good in a sport. Or if they simply develop any of their gifts and use them to make the world a better place, we have great pride. And so often it's in sacrifice. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus sacrificed not just time and effort for his glory, as so often we make sacrifices so we'll get the praise because of what we have done well for ourselves, but Jesus makes a sacrifice not for himself, but for us. Jesus makes the sacrifice so that we may have life and have forgiveness in his name. And that's what makes Jesus beloved. He is beloved because of who he is, that divine, only begotten Son. He is beloved because of what he does. He commits himself to going into Jerusalem. And it's from this Mount of Transfiguration, as he comes down that mountain, that he heads straight to Jerusalem to give his life for you and me. That's what makes him beloved, not only to the Father, but makes him beloved to us, because he did it for us and not for himself. Well, the voice of God continues. It not only says, "This is my beloved Son," but then it says, "Listen to him." We're not only to praise him for who he is, but we're to listen to him and follow what he says. So what is it that we need to hear from Jesus? Well, it's no more that he had said he was ready to sacrifice his life and go to Jerusalem, that he turned to his disciples and he said, "If any of you or if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me." Listen to him. If you want to be his follower, embrace sacrifice. Take up a cross. Care for others. Follow Jesus in your life. Because that's what true love is, isn't it? It's making sacrifices. On Valentine's Day, you took the time to get a Valentine, to do something special for your beloved. It's a sacrifice. Whether it's buying a gift or writing special words or spending time, it says it's not just about me, it's about that person I love. Or instead of going on expensive vacations and buying new cars, we often sacrifice so that we can help pay for our kids' college education. Or instead of simply getting the best things for ourselves, we set aside our first fruits for God in his kingdom. Instead of simply relaxing at home, we cook a meal for ship. We visit somebody in a nursing home or a hospital. You know, all of those things are what it means to take up your cross and follow me. And so when we don't just think of ourselves, but we follow in the example of Jesus, that's when we are to listen to him, deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow him. Jesus also says, "Forgive our sins as we forgive the sins of others." He taught us to pray that because forgiveness is central if you're going to listen to Jesus. Jesus says, "Forgive." There's no place in God's kingdom for bitterness or revenge or harboring grudges. And so he teaches us to pray, "Lord, if we want your forgiveness, forgive us as we forgive those who sin against us." You know, if you look carefully at that prayer, what Jesus teaches us to pray is, "God, don't forgive me if I'm not willing to forgive others." That's what it says. Forgive us our sins as in the same way we forgive others. Forgiveness is that important to Jesus. So listen to him. If he's your beloved, he calls you to forgive others even as he has first forgiven you everything so that you may have eternal life. And Jesus then in Matthew 20:11-29 says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle in heart and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Listen to him. When we're yoked to Jesus, we are yoked to the God of love and sacrifice. When we're yoked to Jesus, we're yoked to the God of forgiveness. When we are yoked to Jesus, we are yoked to the God who grants us eternal life. Jesus is God's beloved Son. He is our beloved Savior. Listen to him. Amen. Will you stand and pray with me? Dear Lord God, on Valentine's Day, sometimes it can be a lonely day. We don't have a special loved one with us. But Lord, we have you. You are our beloved, God's beloved Son, our beloved Savior. Lord, help us to know and to appreciate and grasp the depth of your love for us. It was with us yesterday, it's with us today, and your love will be with us for eternity. Lord, help us to listen to your voice that reminds us of your love that is for now and for eternity. Thank you for your love. Amen.